In the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we have an encounter with the realm of the supernatural. I'd like to invite your attention to this account, Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, which he broke the bonds, and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding regions of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. Here we have an encounter with the supernatural realm. I thought it fitting, considering that yesterday was Halloween, that we think about the supernatural today. The reason is simply this. Modern man is becoming more and more fascinated with the supernatural. Think about it. Television, movies, and books abound about witches, demons, ghosts, and other occult phenomena. What was once laughed at in our society is now being taken seriously. Many people, even those who are saying that they are Christians, get involved with the occult. And this is not, I repeat, not something we should take lightly, because the Bible teaches us that the realm of the supernatural is a reality. Please, it is a reality, and it is not something that we should be playing with. It is not something that Christians should want to be involved with. As we consider our passage this morning in Luke chapter 8, there are two main points I would like us to notice. First of all, this, the demonic danger of the supernatural. The demonic danger of the supernatural. Please understand, demons are a reality. A reality. They are not pretend. They are not a myth. They are not just some story we can take or leave. Demons are not imaginary creatures in the same category as ghosts and goblins, gnomes, fables, and fairies. They are real. Jesus encountered demonic spirits. Paul and others encountered demonic spirits. Well, if they're reality, what are they? They are real but invisible creatures. Now, they're powerful, but please notice they are not all powerful. They are not God. God is in control, not demonic spirits. And as we look about us in our society today, and we see so many things happening, even though our society likes to deny demons, although they're in movies and everything else, it's difficult to explain much that is taking place in our contemporary society without believing in the existence of demons. No, they're not a myth. They're real. Demons are spirit beings who originated before the creation of the world. You see, demons were created by God, not as demonic spirits, not like they are now, but as holy angels. We read in Job chapter 38, 1 through 7, about demonic spirits. There God says to Job in a challenge, "Where were you when I created the world? When the morning stars sang for glory?" Now, who were the morning stars? They were the angels. Angels were created before the world was created. Demons were part of these angels. Therefore, they were created before the foundation of the world. But again, they were not created as evil spirits. They were created as angelic holy angels. But Satan, Lucifer, led a rebellion, Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. And when he did that, one third, we believe, of the angels fell with him. They followed him in rebellion. And those angels became what we now know as demons. So God didn't create evil beings. He created holy beings who fell through pride and rebellion and sin. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads." Revelation clearly interprets that as being Satan. It goes on to say, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth." One third. One third. Unbelievably. Rebelled and became demons. Now, those demons then are the servants of Satan. They continue to follow Satan. Just as they followed Satan in his rebellion against God, they now act as his devious servants upon this world. Now, the Word of God refers to these servants in two ways. They are called demons. This is from a Greek word that means knowing or intelligence. You see, a demon is a knowing one. Intelligence is the most prominent characteristic among demons, and their superior knowledge is used to frustrate God's work and also serves to attract the interests of humans. And so when you're really dealing in the world of the supernatural, sometimes people say, "Well, but look, I was told this and it happened," or "they had this insight." Demons are intelligent. They're also referred to not only as demons, but as spirits. Now, this tells us that they do not possess a material body of flesh and bones. Now, they are, however, able to enter in and assume control of a human body, speaking and acting through it from time to time, as we see in the account today. This title also tells us that demons are not normally subject to human visibility or other sensory perceptions. Their invisibility makes their presence insidious. It makes it hard to detect. Now, as we think of spirits, they're sometimes called evil spirits. Now, the word evil denotes labor, pain, and sorrow. That which is destructive, injurious. This is what they bring to men they deal with. And they are sometimes called unclean spirits. Now, the term unclean denotes impurity, filthiness, defilement. That is also what they bring with them. So demons are a reality. Also notice that demons are no friends to humanity. This demonized person here is tormented by these demons. This man had been demon-possessed or demonized for a long time. He went about naked. He lived on the mountains and in the tombs. He cut himself with stones. We find this also in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And Mark tells us that when he saw Jesus, he ran to him. Why? I think that as far as this man was concerned, with his last scrap of humanity, he desired deliverance from these demons within him. They had not given him power or prestige, only misery. Chuck Swindoll comments, "Barely a vestige of humanity remains as the man roams about the tombs like an animal, naked and wild." This account illustrates several characteristics of demon possession. Prior to verse 35, we find insanity. I mean, he was basically out of his mind, being controlled by the demon. We find in verse 27, indecency. He was naked. This often accompanied demonic control. Verse 29, injury. He cut himself. And of course, we could add infamy. His poor family must have lived in shame of this man. That's what the devil drives man to, insanity, indecency, injury, and infamity. How did this man become demon-possessed? Well, noted preacher H.A. Ironside notes, "We do not know in what way the demons fully gained control of this poor man, but it is evident that sometime or other in his early life he had opened the door to them, perhaps by persistence in sins that the law of God condemned, and as a result he was a slave to these evil spirits and had lost the power to control himself." We need to understand that demon possession occurs because the door somehow is open to the spirit world. Perhaps it's through sin. Perhaps it's through rebellion against God. Perhaps it is through playing with the occult, Ouija boards, tarot cards, fortune tellers, horoscopes, some other way. But it's an opening of the spirit to the spirit world and the demonic world. And do not fool yourself. Such demonic activity did not end in the first century. It is still taking place today. J. Vernon McGee writes, "Demons control a man so that he cannot do what he wants to do. Demons cause people to do frightful and terrifying acts. They cause people to perform soul-destroying acts. They cause mothers to kill their children, husbands to kill their wives, and children to kill their parents. People commit senseless acts, and they do not know why they do such terrible things. These things are happening in our day, and mankind is blaming everything but demons as the cause." That's something to think about, isn't it? Not only, does this demonized person be tormented himself, but those around a demonized person are terrorized by demons. They had attempted to bind him in chains and fetters, this protect themselves, but he had broken them with inhuman strength. He was so fierce, Matthew 8:28, in a parallel passage says, that no man might pass that way. They were scared to go out there. They might be attacked by this man. He terrorized the community. His friends, his family could do nothing with him in this hopeless condition. And let me say this. No mortal man can control demons. Despite what the movies say, what the occultic books say, or fantasy books say, no sorcerer, wizard, witch, or psychic can control a demon. Rather, it's the demon who is actually in charge. Do not play with this. Jesus Christ is the only one who can help a demonized person. Jesus and Jesus only. Furthermore, notice about demons that demons recognize the person of Jesus Christ. Of course they do. He created them. All things are created by Jesus Christ. He created them as holy angels. They knew him at the dawn of time. And they recognize him today. Oh yes, while unbelieving men with darkened mind and rebellious hearts may not know that Jesus is God, all the demonic realm knows it. And they fear him. Which brings us to our next point. Demons fear God's judgment. They fear God's final judgment. They know that their day of judgment will come. Terrified of Jesus, these demons beg him not to torment them. They say, "Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Matthew 8:29. The Greek word means to examine by torture. They know there is a time in the future when they will be judged and punished. And to them, when they saw Christ on the earth, it could only mean to them that maybe judgment is near. Here is God. Here is the one who will one day judge them. And they thought, could it be that the day of judgment has arrived? It was not that day. But we read in Matthew 25, verse 41, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels," the demons. There is coming a day when the demons and their Lord, Satan, will be cast into eternal hell. So they fear God's final judgment, and they also fear God's temporary judgment. They did not want to be cast into the deep, the King James says, or the abyss. The Greek word only occurs 9 times in the New Testament, once here, once in the letter of Romans, and all the rest in the book of Revelation, where it is referred to as the bottomless pit. It is a place of punishment, even if it's temporary at this time, before eternal hell. And these evil spirits dreaded that. They did not want to be placed there. Apparently, while on earth, Jesus did cast out many demons, and he cast them out into this place of confinement from which they will not be released until the tribulation period comes on this earth. And then they'll be bound again and they'll be placed into hell. One more point. Demons desire to inhabit physical bodies. It appears that these disembodied spirits yearn to possess physical bodies, especially those of men and women. And if not, then some lower form of physical life, such as these pigs. Now, we might think, why is that so? Well, G. Campbell Morgan replies, "Demons can only blight the work of God in the creation of this world if they find vantage ground in the physical in man." Ironside says, "It is in order that they might stir up into unlofty and dreadful passions which will cause them to insult God who created them." They want to cause people to rebel more and more and more against God. For this cause, mankind needs to be on guard. People should beware. Chuck Swindoll warns, "Demons, remember, are not content merely to indwell and control. Wherever they go, their purpose is to wreak havoc and destruction. So be wary. Don't let them put their foot in the door of your mind through occultic books, movies, games, or trinkets. If you own some of these things," he says, "get rid of them. If you can, burn them as the believers in Ephesus did in Acts 19, verse 19. We should beware of the demonic world. But we, if we are believers, do not need to be afraid of the demonic world, because demons are subject to the authority of Jesus Christ. These demons answered Jesus' question. They could not rebel and refuse to answer them. They had to. Who are you? We are legion. Now, it's interesting, a Roman legion was ordinarily made up of up to 6,000 men. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that there were 6,000 demons literally here, but rather we might think of the word meaning a great number, a mob. A vast number of demons had entered into this man, and they had to answer him under the authority of Jesus. And under the authority of Jesus, these demons departed at Jesus' command. They could not resist the Lord's authority. And we remember that greater is he who is in you, in the believer, than he who is in the world. God is all-powerful. He is in control, even of the demons. And so we have noticed the danger of the demons in the supernatural. Secondly, I'd like us to notice the mighty Lord of the supernatural. As I said, the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord. He is victorious over the forces of darkness. Jesus is over all of creation, including the supernatural realm. We read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him," that is Jesus, "and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth," and notice, "things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." As one writer said, physical or metaphysical, normal or paranormal, Christ is Lord over all. And the day will come when even the master of the demonic realm will be judged and cast into hell. Revelation 20, verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Jesus is in control, and he is the victor over all. Also, the Lord Jesus Christ offers deliverance from sin and Satan. That is so important for us to know. He offers deliverance from sin and Satan. This possessed man was delivered, and he was delivered by Christ. Oh, what a life-transforming change took place. We get a kind of a pattern here. What happens to a person once they're delivered? Well, delivered men are truly in their right mind. This man was sane and sat at the foot of Jesus. Delivered men and women are modest. He was clothed. Delivered men desire to be with Jesus. He begged Jesus, "Let me go with you." And delivered men and women are witnesses of Christ's grace and power. Jesus says, "No, do not come with me, but go out and tell your family, tell your community, tell all those around you what I have done as God for you today." He was delivered. And a person today who is demon-possessed or demon-influenced can be delivered through the power of Christ. And those who have never accepted Christ as Savior, those who are lost in their sin, even if they're not demon-possessed, they can be delivered from their sin and eternal hell by trusting in Christ as Savior. So all sinners can be delivered through the blood of Christ. Matthew 11, 28, "Come unto me," Jesus said, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." John chapter 6, verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." If you will come to Jesus, repent of your sins, turn from your own self-will and what you're trying to do to earn heaven and salvation, and turn from that and turn to Jesus and Jesus only, and accept him as Savior, he will not turn you away. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever," put your name there, "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is God's word on it, his promise. And he is a gentleman and never breaks his promises. Let us conclude with some final observations. First of all, the supernatural realm is real. Don't play with it. It is a reality. Don't open yourself up to it. Secondly, Jesus Christ is all powerful. He overcomes the spirit realm, the supernatural. Do not fear Satan. Rather, trust Jesus. And thirdly, salvation and deliverance are available. Do not delay coming to Christ. If you're listening to me today and you never have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, won't you come to him right now in prayer? Confess that you're a sinner. Confess that you cannot do anything to earn salvation on your own, but that you want to be saved, and ask him to be your Savior and your Master, your Lord, today. And he will save you.